My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Yes, we're back. We being me in the center of the stage, flanked by two twos, John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. I'm sure you know the rules. Frankly, there aren't any. So on with the show. John, this is a fine tune composed by a man whom you and I both knew. The tune is named after a much maligned monarch. Do you know the monarch or the composer?
Much maligned monarch.
Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands.
A dedication or an actual title of the piece?
No, title of a film.
Title of film? Ah, well, then it might be Hank Sink or...
No, but it isn't.
Dick the Tooth?
Yes, it's not even Dick the Tooth.
Third.
It is. It's Richard the Third.
Richard the Third.
Music by...
William Walton.
William Walton, that's
yes.
Right. Frank, your turn. Frank, can you fill in for me the names of some well-known brothers, or so-called brothers anyway? For instance, Kenneth and George...
Weston.
Thank you. They were actually cousins, weren't they? Bandleaders Tommy and Jimmy.
Dorsey.
Right. Dmitri, Ivan, Alyosha and Shmerdyakov.
Bucks Fizz.
Or... The brothers Karamazov. And finally, please, these two.
Bye, bye, love. Bye, bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry.
Everly, brothers.
Yes, do you remember their first names?
I don't know them all that well.
No, it's
one of them, Buddy.
No. You're thinking of Buddy Holly. No. Don Buddy and Everly. Phil Everly, actually.
Oh,
good. A listener in South Africa wrote to me, Lex Boltman, who's a doctor. He wrote to tell me he was about to start an anaesthetic for a minor operation when he noticed that the piped music loudspeaker was playing that song. Bye bye love, goodbye happiness, I think I'm going to die. He had the music stopped, but not, I gather, before the patient left. Ian, you once admitted on this programme to not liking this piece of music. Ian, Ravel's Bolero... Begin the Beguine and Waltzing Matilda have something in common. They're all masquerading under false colours. How is that, please?
I have a feeling that the clue to it, in a way, is Waltzing Matilda for sort of simple chaps
yes.
like me. Because there is no way that... Pum, 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 pa, da, dee,
one, two,
it can't
three,
be...
Four,
dum, ba, dum, ba, dum, yum, ba, dum, ba, da. So, it's not a waltz.
Yes.
Matilda is not waltzing. Yes.
You've got the answer. Rhythmically speaking, they're not what their title's playing. Yes. Bolero, as a Spanish friend of his told Ravel, is not strictly a bolero.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't know about a beguine, really.
Begin the Beguine's not a strict beguine, either.
No. Yes.
And, of course, Waltzing Matilda's not a waltz.
No.
And as you may know, of course, Lassie wasn't a lassie in the original film.
I would have thought that was totally irrelevant.
Yes,
and having been to Australia, you know Matilda's not a girl.
Oh,
Matilda is a swag bag.
Oh, yes.
And a waltzing Matilda means a swag bag that's, jogging about on the back.
It would do, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
You learn something new every day. Dennis, your turn.
Good.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble.
Dennis, three musicals with double names. Promises, Promises, I Do, and Applause, Applause. Which one doesn't belong?
Applause, Applause.
Why?
Because it was only applause.
That's right, yes.
Whereas Can Can...
Oh. It was can-can and not can. Yeah.
People talking about music as opposed to writing about it can be found in the BBC Sound Archive, and I've dug out one or two examples. John, who was this and who was he talking about?
A great musician. And playing the violin, he was a big man, stout, and his violin seemed much too small for him.
Who do you think that might have been?
It could be Casals.
Yes, Casals. Casals on Isai, the violinist.
Uh-huh. Do you know that story about Casals when he was announced he was going to get married again? And he was 89 and his bride-to-be was 17. And his family doctor said, look, Paul, you must think about this. It could be fatal. And after you're 89 and she's 17, I warn you, as your doctor and your friend, it could be fatal. Now, what do you think? And he said, well, I look at it like this. If she dies, she dies.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Frank, your turn. Who's being described here? I must say there's a pretty good hint.
He could make a rainy Monday morning's rehearsal just pass like a snap of the fingers. He'd have a glint in that naughty old eye, and somehow he'd be using this stick, not in the conventional 1-2-3-4 pattern he was conducting four in a bar, but with these rapier thrusts, having no relationship whatsoever to four in a bar somehow. But he got what he wanted, and you did better than you knew how.
I love that. You did better than you knew how. A violinist talking. Who was he talking about?
Victor Sylvester. I'm a little baffled. I don't understand your clue, which has made the whole thing so easy.
The rapier thrusts are a real clue. John would know this.
Well, they all
John
dash it. They all do rapier thrusts.
John
give
worked
them a
for this man. Come on, John.
Oh, no. Who are we talking about?
Sir Thomas Beecham.
Yes. Oh, he. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was awfully good. Dennis and I, about 40 years ago, were in Australia, and there was a rather haggard, defeated kind of interviewer, and the worst time of his life was he was interviewing Sir Thomas, and Sir Thomas didn't like him because he was hectoring Sir Thomas, and Thomas said, don't ask all those questions, just ask me one simple question, have you had amusing experiences, and just leave it to me. And so he said, Sir Thomas Beecham, have you had amusing experiences in your life? And he said, no, not at all.
I think that's the same Beecham. Ian, again, the subject is Sir Thomas Beecham, his brusque way of dealing this with temperamental folk. The storyteller was the flautist Gerald Jackson.
During the Russian opera season, with Shalyapin and his own company coming to the Lyceum, Sir Thomas was busy at rehearsal one morning, and halfway through it, Shalyapin entered. He came onto the stage, and as was their custom, they all stopped singing and turned and applauded Shalyapin. Well, Sir Thomas just looked goggle-eyed at them. He was very annoyed that this should happen without his permission, without by your leave. And Shalyapin walked over to him over across the floats and said, Sir Thomas, my throat, I cannot sing this morning. He said, oh, ne chantez pas, ne chantez pas, let's get on.
That's Beecham. Ian, Shalyapin played Boris, Ivan, Igor. He also played the lead in a film. What was his role in that? Tilting at windmills, he was.
Oh, I see. I was just wondering whether it was the 39 steps.
Well, that's a good
windmills.
Joke. Yes.
Well, it had to be Don Adams, didn't it? Don
Quixote. Dennis, this was Dame Maggie Tate recalling Beecham in a Mozart opera.
I remember one night, there's the big sextet in the second act, is it? I believe it is the second act. And they were all over the place. And I remember he came onto the stage afterwards, full of, instead of, you know, being in an awful temper like other somebody else might be, he came full of smiles and laughter and said, now wasn't that marvellous? We all finished together.
Maggie Tate, spelt T-E-Y-T-E. Why did she spell her name that odd way, Dennis? take...
Well, if you're a great singer, you're no under no obligation to be able to spell. I mean, because that was in a way her parents handed the name down to her. I mean, what wasn't she...
May I tell a story about Beecham and Tate?
Yes, can we find out why she spelled her name? How was she supposed to have spelled
it? Yeah, let me explain first. She was born Maggie Tate, T-A-T-E, in Wolverhampton, but she got sick of people in France calling her Tate. So she spelt it T-E-Y-T-E. What's your story, John?
Well, Sir Thomas told me this himself. We were talking about Maggie Tate, and he said that one evening she rang him up rather late and said, I want to sing Salome for you. And he said, don't you think that's a little heavy for you? And could you do the dance? She said, yes, I'm coming round to do the dance straight away. Dance at Seven Veils. So I said, what happened, Sir Thomas? And he wagged his beard and said, well, eventually, I persuaded her to sing Hansel and Gretel.
Well, let's move on. I enjoy your piano medleys, writes Mrs. Race, I think it is.
Spelled R-A-Y-C-E.
Anyway, here are eight tunes to be identified, four to be identified by each side, as usual. First one, John, I think.
It's Prelude by Gershwin.
Yes, the first of the piano preludes, that's right.
I knew that.
And then da-da-dee, da-da-dum, da-da-dee. No, it is it? Did you know that?
Yes. It's Rosenkavalier.
Yes, from Rosenkavalier.
Knew
right.
That.
Was from. Then, Frank, you must have got the next one.
The Roses.
No, Picardy.
Picardy.
Thank you, yes. And da-da-dum, bum-dum, ba-dum.
It's the most unusual... But quite usual number. Quite unusual day.
Yes, thank you. That's four half marks and over to the other side.
When my friend has finished.
Yeah, with
Hills of the North Rejoice.
Valley and Mountain Spring. Yes, that's right. And da 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 da.
Lullaby of Birdland.
Thank you. The tune, little bit of a tune by...
Love Me or Leave Me.
Yes, and...
Now, that was a kind of generic ending. It could have, to my mind, applied to a lot of songs. I couldn't associate with... A thing called happiness is just a thing called Joe.
Sorry. Yes, that's right. Oh, you all got maximum marks. A whole generation of popular singing stars came from the ranks of the dance band vocalists, sitting there while the band played, stepping forward to sing just the occasional vocal chorus, usually the second chorus, all hoping for individual stardom someday. John, can you name the singer and the trumpet player he worked for?
Nothing at all.
Any luck, John? Singer?
It's a very, very, very thin Frank Sinatra.
Yes, it was, that's right.
And the trumpet player was always the trumpet player in these things. A beautifully clear circus-playing trumpet, wasn't it? Harry James.
Harry James, that's right. Frank Sinatra with Harry James. Frank, your turn. A girl singer with a renowned band.
It's
It's alliterative band, isn't it? Is it Les Brown and his band?
Under Renown, that's right, yes.
And it's the one of those great girl singers who became a film star, and I can't remember her name.
Well, she was alliterative as well.
Was she?
It's D-Day, Doris Day.
Oh, yes. Day. Splendid lady.
I think you've dropped
Oscar, Oscar Levant described that as in the days before she became a virgin.
Well, we'll say you dropped a half mark, I think, frankly. Ian, who's the dame?
I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for love.
Is it? Can't be anybody else. No. Although I imagine that was very early.
She was about 17 then. What a voice!
Oh my! Yeah. But there was still that fervent quality, Dame Vera Lynn.
That's right. And the well-tailored band leader would be.
Oh, I wasn't listening to that.
That would be either Joe Loss or Ambrose.
No, it was Ambrose. Yes. Dennis, I think this was the young lady's first record. Certainly, the first one that brought her to international attention.
You let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too.
You know her?
Yes, that's Peggy Lee. I think it wasn't her first record with Benny Goodman, but I think it's her first hit with Benny Goodman.
It was indeed, yes, with Benny Goodman. Peggy Lee. Just a word or two, but the question is from which song? John, not very complimentary, this. Country folks would lie.
Oh, is that the folks that live on the hill?
No, far from it.
Oh, it's pretty, so good.
My version is...
With a hay nonny nerve.
Yes, so it was, the title was... Da-da-da-dum-bum-ba-da-da.
Mm. It's not much more than that.
I must tell you, it was a lover and his lass.
Yes, I failed, utterly.
Oh. Country folk wouldn't, so the country folk would lie. Blah, blah, blah. Frank, my quiet upbringing.
Ah, little me with my quiet upbringing.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, ask me how do I feel. Yeah. Well, if I was a bell, I'd be swinging.
Yes, if I were a bell, that's right, yeah. Ian, I'm sure you've heard this a few times in years gone by. Meander in search of a goose. Weird line.
Oh, right? Something about meander in search of a gander.
Well, it's a gander, meander. It's Elmer's tune. It's Elmer's tune, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Elmer's tune, what makes a gander meander?
These ones are always a collaboration.
Dennis, walk my way.
If I could walk that way, I wouldn't need the centaur. It's either that you could ascend from that to, isn't it? Walk my way, play Misty for me, and a thousand violins begin to play.
Walk my way from the start of Misty. That's right. Five notes in different rhythms. They start off some very different tunes. Eleanor Rigby, for instance. John, that's this clever. Is the verse of a patriotic marching song. Who's the singer?
Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Back it on the run, on the run, on the run. Yeah, I'm calling you and me. Every heart of liberty. Only that's a wine, not today, go today. Make your daddy glad who have had such a lad. Share your sweet heart, not a wine, to be proud and boys in love.
Right over there, he sang.
Isn't that the Thin Sinatra again?
No, I think it's Fat Caruso. It's Caruso. It was Caruso singing Over There as part of his patriotic duty.
At the time, I mean, no. What was he singing? Over Where?
Well, it was at the First World War, anyway.
Yes, he was selling bonds.
Yeah. Frank, the same five starting notes in an appropriate key for the singing voice of a large and once popular lady.
She's a lassie from Lancashire, just a lassie from Lancashire. She's a lassie I love.
Know her?
Lovely sort of resonant noise, yes. Isn't it?
Alliterative lady again.
Yeah, it's Florrie Ford.
Yeah, Florrie Ford. Australian lady. Ian, a rhythmic version of a poignant Scotch song, the same five starting notes. Who's the singer on this record?
Bonnie Shirley, you are warm, safely o'er the friendly main. Money's the herbal back and form, should you ne'er come back again.
Yes, that's my own friend Andy Stewart.
Yes, that's right, it is. Dennis, those five notes again at the start of Swinging Down the Lane. Whose version?
Everybody hand in hand, swinging down the lane. Everybody feeling grand, swinging down the lane.
Is it Bobby Darin?
No. No.
I don't know.
A little more mellow than Bobby Darin.
Floyd Demone?
Yes, the second choice, so half a mark.
Vic Damone,
right?
Yeah.
Vic Damone, only a half there. Traditionally, we end my music with a quartet of songs. Each one is chosen by the singer concerned. So, setting aside the results of the quiz until later, here are the four party pieces. John, Frank, rather, you first. I'll be your sweetheart, you'll be my soloist, and I'll be your accompanist.
That's right. Kind of you.
And...
I'll be your sweetheart if you will be mine. All my life I'll be golden and time. Bluebells I've got, take them and be true. When I'm a man, I plan. We'll be to marry you.
There are those among our listeners who like it best when John sings, others who like it best when he whistles. Put it another way, some prefer him not to sing, some prefer him to whistle. On this occasion, the whistle fans have it. Troy Trumpet. By special request this week, Dennis is going to sing Nothing.
The way that life is full of ups and downs is bound to leave humanity perplexed. I guess the reason we all stick around is just to see what's going to happen next. Did you ever see a guy who can make the ladies sigh? 'Cause this boy has such a wonderful physique. And then he opens up his mouth to speak. Nothing. Do you ever sit at home alone and you idly dial the phone? Though the number's wrong, the voice is oh so sweet. You talk a while and then you finally meet. Nothing. Every time you start to think of bluebirds, better you should go and break a leg. 'Cause every time you start to think of bluebirds, it's 100 to 1 those birds will lay an egg. In her evening gown at 9, she looks gorgeous and divine. What a figure, boy, this girl has got a beaut. And then you see her in a bathing suit. Bitterly disappointing.
I told you he was singing Nothing. That's what it's called. Ian, on the other hand, is singing Something. Not George Harrison's Something, but something called The Sunshine of Your Smile.
Dear face that holds so sweet. for me. Were you not mine, how dark the world would be. I know no light above that could replace love's radiant sunshine in your dear, dear face. Give me your smile, a love light in your eyes. Life could not hold a fairer paradise. Give me the right to love you all the while. My world forever, the sunshine of your smile.
That song was composed, incidentally, by a woman, Lillian Ray. Our score is a woman, too, a young one named Alison. And she tells me that the quiz part of the show this week was won by... Was it really? Frank and John. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Richard Edis.